This podcast is brought to you by the Dutch Cycling Embassy.
Barcelona, welcome ladies and gentlemen. We're off to Barcelona to the Metropolitan Mobility Podcast. My name is Geert Kloppenburg and this episode goes mainly about superblocks, a real new way of looking at the public space. The Metropolitan Mobility Podcast always revolves around questions, how can we keep metropolitan areas accessible in a sustainable way? And who have we got on the other side of the line in Barcelona? Sitting next to each other as a couple. So I'm quite curious who's going to start.
Well, the girl starts. I'm Silvia Casorran. And yeah, we live in the superblock in Poblenou. And I work as responsible for cycling metropolitan policies in Barcelona. And
I'm Patrick. I'm a Dutch guy. And I live in the superblock, and I'm part of the neighbor organization Collectiv Superblock Poblenou.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you guys joined in. We did not know when we started off this journey to interview people about the superblock that you were a couple, because Patrick, I saw you in Amsterdam talking about this really special project, superblocks. And I didn't know that you were a couple together with Sylvia. Sylvia, you are working for, let's say, the municipality of Barcelona?
Well, I work for the Barcelona metropolitan area. It's 36 municipalities. One of them is Barcelona.
Yes.
But right now I'm in between jobs and I'm going to join the team of superblocks in Barcelona municipality in the next weeks. So yeah, I'm very involved with superblocks concept, both because I'm living here and then also because my work.
Because she's the Messi of the superblocks.
Why do we always have to make these stupid comparisons to football?
Please.
But it doesn't matter. We will.
Well, yeah, you are Dutch, and I see with the Dutch is also the same.
But okay, we go ahead. But let's just first, because I also heard that these superblocks were going to be extended and I've got loads of questions. But first of all, I don't know who to ask, but what is this superblock?
Well, it's a way that all the cars can still go inside of a grid of 3x3 streets. But they cannot cross. They have to turn at every corner to the right. So they can get anywhere, but they cannot go quickly from one place to the other. They always get back to the street where they came from. In Dutch, we would say woon erf. The thing is that in Barcelona, all the streets have the same... there's no
hierarchy
in the streets. So the cars are really everywhere. And in the superblocks, for example, they get rid of the traffic lights. So there are no traffic lights, and the pedestrians, they have the priority. So everyone has to, they give back the streets to the people.
And how was the situation there? Was it a typical, I've been a couple of times to Barcelona, was it a typical street that they were going two lanes of cars into one direction and two lanes, and you come to these squares and then you really hope to survive anyway if you enter these squares? And there were some cyclists there, but they were like the real fanatic guys who were cycling, and there were lots of pedestrians. But what was that the situation in the super blocks at your place where we're talking about? Was it that kind of street?
Yeah, well, in the super block in Poblenou, the streets are Eixample grid on Cerdà plan. So they are 20 meters wide. And yeah, so 5 meters at each side for the pedestrians and then 10 meters for the cars. And as you say, two lanes for cars and also one lane for parking cars. And then also one lane. We also had some footpath here, some bike lanes.
Cycling lanes.
Yeah, but then this was removed. Then there is only one lane for cars. And as Patrick told, they really have to, it's really difficult to get through.
So you changed from two times two car lanes towards just one car lane going up and down. And that car lane could only go right. Is this the right assumption?
Yeah, Yeah, the car has to turn at really the first corner, and then at the next corner they have to turn right again, and then they go to the first point. So yeah, it's not practical to go by car.
But it's all.
I love you two guys. You're sitting next to each other. Yeah, Patrick, come
But it's
along.
not. It was not 2x2. It's just one way direction all the streets. So
Okay.
they got
Okay.
from two lanes and two parking lanes to one lane and still one parking lane. And there was one street that was really four lanes without parking. And it was a highway that people, well, when I drove my car, I went 70 or 80 there until the next street light. And now it's just a one lane in one direction and 20 kilometers an hour.
And how much is the reduction of car traffic going through the sub super blocks now?
Well, in this area, we are, in Poblenou, we are like, it was an old industrial area and it's now transforming. So it's not like really dense. It's not like in Eixample as the scenario that you could imagine, no? With so many people and so many cars. So it was already quite calm. I think now cars are really a rare thing. I mean, it's only for neighbors and then for delivery uses and that's it.
But has it been a drop down from 50% or 30% or 80% approximately?
No,
Because you guys live
yeah,
there.
more. I mean, it's the drop. It's like 90%. The nice thing,
Yeah, that's humongous.
no, the nice thing is that in the perimeter where it's supposed that the cars have to drive, the traffic is only increasing between 2 and 5%. So, yeah, the first reason to be against Superblock was like, but then the perimeter will really collapse.
And were the local people really like happy? Because I heard already when Patrick was talking in Barcelona that the opposition was humongous, or maybe not humongous, but there was tough opposition.
Well, there was a two-way opposition because the mayor of Barcelona was all about participation process. She wanted the neighbors to be involved. And then just in this
And sorry, Patrick, how many years is this ago when you started this whole? I
four
did
years,
not
four
ask
years.
yet. Yeah, okay, yeah, go along. Go along.
So she was just a mayor, and in this moment they just implemented the super block without talking a lot with the neighbors. So politically, she made a mistake with this super block because she didn't do correctly all the participation process. So the opposition put all their meat on the barbecue, and they organized a real media hype. For example, the first day of the super block, they interviewed a person with an ambulance, and he said, "No, I couldn't get to the direction where I had to pick up a sick person because of the super block." So a lot of people still
Yeah, and then
think,
I was too late, and the person had a
yeah,
heart
it
attack,
was,
and somebody
yeah.
died, and blah, 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 blah,
No,
blah.
they were in this people afterwards. They said, "Hey, but are you okay in the super block? Yeah, that there, the ambulances can't go there. It's very sad for you, no?" And I said, "Come on, there's a lot of space. The ambulance can go wherever it wants to." And but it was still like, if it's on national television and it's the first day. What is a super block? A place where an ambulance no can't enter. So it was like that type of media hype, which was really, well, false news, no, to try
Fake
to
news.
attack fake news to try to attack the super block.
Yeah, may I add something about the
Yeah.
participatory process? No, the strange thing is that, I mean, the super block process was a different thing. A really participatory process was coming, already talking, I don't know, since 2013 or 14, we are talking about super blocks because the old mobility plan already contained them. So there were these long participatory processes, no, 1 year discussing with the neighbors and then doing nothing. And then this one, our super block, was a special way of doing that because it was together with the university, with the community from all the architecture universities in Catalonia. Every year they choose a specific project and they work it all together with all the universities. And that year in 2016, they chose for the super block. So that was also, I mean, the starting point of our super block was special. It wasn't in the plan, like the priority super blocks, because this area is a very low density area. I mean, it's not, we didn't have real problems of, I don't know, we had the space and we didn't have many cars. I mean, it wasn't like the Eixample in the center. This is an all industrial area, transformation, so it was quite quiet. So it was easy also for the students to practice.
Yeah, I totally understand. How is the situation now? What's the reaction of the people if you would do a inquiry and ask everybody?
Yeah, I think it's impossible to be against the Superblock right now in Barcelona, because I think it's like very accepted, no? In a place where there was a crossing of two roads, now there's a playground for children. So we're in a street where just were some traffic and cars parked every day, it's completely filled with people that really enjoy the street. It's, they are talking in the street, they're sitting in the street, there are banks, there are tables, kids are playing. It's really like you come there and say, hey, this place is alive. And the stupid thing is, like, as Sylvia said, there were not severe problems of a lot of traffic, but changing the concept of who is the owner of the street. Well, here the pedestrians are the owner of the street, and the owners, when they got used to it, because it took them some time to walk in the street, to go to the middle of the street, and now it's really nice. Also, it took them a long time to put things. So in the beginning, everything was completely empty, and it took them maybe 1 year to put some tables, to make the playground, to put some ping pong table. And it wasn't clear how many money did they have to put it, what was the time management, like would it be there in 3 months, in 2 years, or in 5 years?
And was it already clear in the beginning that it would have been permanently, or was it one big question mark?
No, that was, I mean, in the really beginning, it wasn't clear. It was like a pilot. It was in September until, in the beginning of September, until the Car Free Day, the 22nd of September. And that was the university project.
That's just 2 weeks.
Yeah, that was just 2 weeks. But then we had like...
We're 4 years later now.
Yeah. But then, we had these 100 students in the four new squares that were created, and they were really making new propositions of what to do with this public space. But then everything was removed the 22nd of September, because it was just a university project, right? But then that was when the municipality said, no, this project will stay. Because why to remove it? I mean, we already made the mobility changes and we already got the public space. So let's create with the neighbors, and then the participatory process started afterwards. So then we started discussing with the municipality what to do with the new public space. And that's what Patrick refers, that took them, public procurement is really so slow. Yeah, that it took them like 3 months to bring some benches, then 1 year for the playgrounds. And
then more specific, your situation, like you worked in this field, Sylvia, but how did you get involved in this project, Patrick? What is your role? What was your role 4 years ago? Or was there no role, where you just volunteer?
I'm just volunteer. There's no role, but I really was amazed. But I have to say, the participation process, it was the people who were in favor of the Superblock at the same time with the people that were against it. So even there were sometimes some situations where people who really felt attacked in their being a car driver or having a Mercedes, and that was part of its identity. No, and they really were like, hey, but you are all hippies. And there was sometimes a lot of tension in the participation process. And as a neighbor, I really, not the first weeks, but after 3 months, I really was amazed, especially when I got out of the super block. No, and you get back to the
normal situation. Well, or what's normal then? Normal is actually.
Well, I was still walking in the middle of the street sometimes, because I forgot that I was outside of the super block, and then the cars were honking me. Like, okay, I'll go to the site. No, but then you think, hey, why should I go to the site in the nice place of the public space? Is the middle where is the action? In the middle is the action. We have to go next to the houses. And also, this is a very strange thing. If you're in the middle, or if there are two people in the middle talking, it's like an invitation to join the conversation. If there are two people talking next to the wall, you say, "Who? What are they planning? I should take away. Maybe they want to rob me." But in the middle, it's like, hey, they don't hide anything. They're in the middle. They want to express something. And it was really, I'm Dutch now, and I had some... I have friends with other people from the school, and I have my football team, but the neighbors, I didn't knew them for a lot. But now, 4 years later, maybe half of my life is just with the neighbors in the street of the super block.
Yeah, that's really cool. And then the other big question comes along, the expansion. I've read, I don't know, was the Guardian or whatever newspaper came along that Barcelona was planning to expand this project. Is that true? And if yes, with how many streets and what will be the plan?
Yeah, well, it is true. I mean, also during last years, there were more superblocks, not only ours. We always are proud because our Poblenou superblock is like the first in Eixample grid, but we are not the only ones. There is also one in Horta, in another neighborhood. There is also one in Sant Antoni, which is really cool because it's a really high dense area and it's really, really used. I mean, this is also, ours is also very used, but that one, I mean, the density is like 10 times ours. So it's really many people at the street.
So you say it's around about four blocks, and if I just do the figures in my head, a block is around about 3 by 3 streets approximately.
Yeah, in our case, yeah, the super block model, like the strict model, was like 3 by 3 blocks, and each block is 100 meters, so it's like 400 by 400 meters. But in Sant Antoni, for instance, the super block is a different size because it's like a triangle, because one of the streets in the perimeter is not like the Eixample grid. And in Horta, it's like an also kind of old town. So it's different. I mean, super blocks model, the nice thing is that it's flexible and it's adjusting not to each reality. And now the project that you mentioned about the Guardian, I think it's the Superilla Barcelona, which is the in Eixample, but in the center, because we are in Eixample grid, but in an extra radio, but in the city center, where the pollution is really a high problem and the noisy and the space occupancy by cars. There are now coming four really green corridors, green axes that are really crossing the whole city, two horizontal and two vertical. And then these axes are creating also a kind of a super block, but all along the Eixample district, which is the core district of the city, you know, with the administrative and economic district. And this is the density of vehicles in Barcelona is the one of the highest in Europe. Well, it is. I mean, if you look at vehicles per kilometer, we are two times London, three times Madrid. I mean, this is really crazy in Barcelona. And Eixample is the worst district.
And what does it mean, worst? Like, how many cars are there?
In each street, I mean, they are crossing like 350,000 cars each day. The city center in these streets. So every street is like from 20 to 30,000 cars per day. So it's really crazy. I mean, in the Ring Road, it's like 2,000 cars. I mean, there are less cars in the Ring Road than crossing the city center.
Of course, everybody knows probably the old city, the Paris Gothic. But what you mean is more to the north. And is it Les Cortes?
What I meant, Eixample grid or Cerdà plan, I meant this area that was linking all the old towns, the old municipalities in Barcelona, all together in the century, in the 19th century. Then there was this plan to connect all the old villages in Barcelona. So it's, I mean, this is the expansion of the city during century 19 and 20. And then all the streets are the same, are 20 meters wide, 10 meters for cars, and then these the ones that you mentioned before.
But then these streets and these plans, they were planned that the tram could go through.
Yeah.
It was not like being planned as a for a car,
no,
because I was thinking about the super blocks that, okay, that was probably going to be built in the 1960s, where all the cars came and then they had these car plan and then the streets were totally ruined. But so what I think is interesting for these super blocks point of view, that these streets were already there, they were made for trams,
yeah.
Then the cars came along, and now your guys are trying to change it towards a different public space.
The thing of Eixample grid, of Cerdà plan, was that the blocks, inside the blocks, there were gardens for the people. But that was removed because they really want to take profit of these inside blocks. Yeah, and now we.
So you actually returned it the way it was.
Yeah, now it's also coming some insights. They are really trying to recover them for people, for gardens, but also outside, because we lost these spaces now for profit, for economical profit, for parkings and for also for buildings, for whatever. Then we have to recover the space also at the outside. So the super block is also trying to bring especially more green and more spaces to rest and to enjoy for the people, because also inside the blocks it's not there anymore.
And just repeating my question, so how much expansion of these blocks is there? You were mentioning four blocks now, but how much more streets are going to be changed in the next couple of years?
In the last plan before the superblock was implemented in our neighborhood, they were talking about an interconnection of superblocks all over town. So 500 superblocks, 500.
500?
500. And then one day the mayor came to our neighborhood and I asked her, hey, you have 3 years now and you did two superblocks. When will the number 500 be finished? Because they were going a little bit slow. And now they are doing a new plan and no one talks about 500 superblocks. So
no, because now we changed like the... We were talking about blocks next to each other and now we are talking about green corridors that in the end, it's what it's inside the superblock when it's not next to... One superblock next to each other is creating green corridors.
Yeah, and also the possibility perhaps so you can walk from the one or bicycle from one superblock to the other.
Yeah, of course. So the new plan, the what I put in the link, I don't know, are we on? No, this is informal.
Yeah, we
no?
can put it into the show notes. Okay. You put it into the chat now. It doesn't matter. It's all right.
Okay. It's the new plan that it's looking at the Eixample grid as green corridors that in the end, it's the same superblock concept, but then looking at the inside of the superblock, not at the perimeter, right? So now, yeah, they're coming these four green axes in the next 3 years. And then there are coming many more. I mean, because as Patrick said, the idea is that all Barcelona is like a super block.
But that's still not clear for me, because Patrick is saying that they were thinking of the idea of expanding it with 500, but then you are saying, no, in the plan, now there is just block by block. So how much is it in the planning to be expanded in the next, let's say, 2 years?
In the next 2 years, there are these four corridors that are really crossing the whole city. So when you look at these corridors and when you look at the amount of super blocks that are created, well, I didn't count them because they are now talking about the corridors, not about the perimeters. But maybe it's like 20 super blocks because it's like, four by five. And then, so, but there are more plans. Now we start with these four really green corridors and really long ones, like 5 kilometers or 6 kilometers each.
And during the whole Corona pandemic, has there been a huge change to maybe do it quicker with the super blocks because you need more public space, because everybody is in their houses, etc., etc.? Has there been a change of mindset looking at these super blocks because of COVID?
Yeah, well, these four corridors, they are already existing because of COVID. They already expanded the space for pedestrians and they only kept one lane for cars in these four corridors. So it's like tactical urbanism, it's already there.
The Corona thing has really accelerated this. Do you see a lot of more people biking now as well?
Yeah, there are many people biking and also there are many people using e-scooters. I don't know how you say it, but yep. There is not active mobility, but in Barcelona, they are really popular. Yeah, but there are many, many bikes. In the metropolitan numbers that we are following, the increase is like 70% in some corridors and it's quite high.
The bad thing though is that there are not less cars because it's basically that people used to go by metro and bus a lot in Barcelona. Really the public transport system is quite good, and now for Corona some people or a lot of people are scared.
That's what we see during this interview all over the world. Of course, on the biking part, I'm curious if I maybe with my four little kids go out of the super block, what happens then? Am I dying immediately, or are there still some special paths if I want to go from the one super block to the other? Because I've never really biked. Yes, I did bike, but then at the beach at Barceloneta and doing touristy thing, but not really biking through the city.
Yeah, well, there are many bike lanes. Also, the last year, bike lanes are increasing a lot.
And is it a free bike lane? Because I was just in Berlin then, and then they say they expanded this bike lane, but I was like, then the trucks were just passing next to me, and I was almost dying. And I thought to myself, I'm not going with my child onto this next very funny bike lane.
I live for 17 years in Barcelona, and I'm used to have two bike lanes, one on each side of the street, as a Dutch person. And I really think that there's still a lot of work.
No, in the points, in the most complicated points, there is no bike lane because they don't know how to get a solution. They have some lanes that are quite well for really crossing Barcelona. If you are really a regular user, you can find your places. Still, go with your children. Well, if they are 12 years, it's okay. But with 8 or 6 or 7, maybe you go with,
And have you seen a big change? Because you live there now around about 17 years. Yeah. Let's say for the last 5 years, have you seen a big change towards more biking or more walking?
There are like two changes. The first one was the public biking system that was a huge success in Barcelona. And maybe she can say how many bikes there are or how many users
now
there are.
Now there are 7,000 bikes and users more than 100,000, 130,000, I think.
So it's a sharing bike system.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it was really like the first beginning of really seeing bikes and really that they took their space, no? Think that a lot of people don't have space in their homes because we all live in small apartments and you have to bring up your bike by in the elevator and it doesn't fit.
Sylvia, I just want to ask you, like, the sharing bike system, I always thought to myself this is only for tourists, but I was actually surprised what Patrick was saying, because there is so little space that actually locals are using this system often. Is that true?
Yeah, it is really true. This started in 2007, and it's not for tourists, especially because tourists are not allowed to use the bike sharing scheme in Barcelona. I mean, in other cities of the world, they are also in Madrid, in New York, everywhere, in London, but not here. Also, to protect like the local renting bikes shops.
Yeah, and did you guys in the super blocks, in those 3x3 streets, did you then deliberately put extra sharing bike system in the planning of these streets?
No, well, we've got like one station inside the super block and the other stations really next to the super block. I mean, so this is a quite dense system, especially in the flat area in Barcelona, like ours. I mean, when you go to the mountain areas, then they've got less supply. But here it's really working.
Is there also a speed limit reduction in these super blocks, or is the speed still the same?
No, the speed reduction, it is. In fact, it is like, it should be 10 kilometers per hour, which is not real, even not for bikes. I mean, I'm working with these issues, and I know bikes are generally between 15 and 25 kilometers per hour. So 20 kilometers per hour, it's a nice...
But what was the speed of the traffic before the super block? It was 50 kilometers.
50.
So and you reduced it for the cars?
10.
To 10.
To 10, yes. Now, one of the streets, it's 20, because also the bus is driving there.
Yep.
But the rest is at 10. It's like if they are driving on the sidewalk.
Why do you guys think there is so much attention for this super block thing? Because it's humongous.
Well, I think there's two things, no? Environmental issues always is like, you should not. And this is some actions that they do that really give quality of, make better the quality of life of a lot of people. I think it really my life, not only like for, I can breathe better because the air is cleaner, or I'm more relaxed because there are no traffic lights, but also at a social level, and really at all levels, it's like, why didn't we do it before? It's like, why let we take over the power of the streets to some machines?
Well, thanks a lot, you both, joining in from Barcelona and sharing your views on the Superblock and actually being involved really directly in this whole project and sharing with us all your knowledge. Thank you very much. And for all the listeners, you can subscribe for free to this podcast. Thanks everybody for listening. Sylvia, Patrick, thanks a lot, and bye bye. Cheerio.
Bye.